All right. Well, come on in, guys. Grab a seat. All right. Glad you guys are here. Come on in. My name's Tom. For those that don't know you, I've got a wife that's, I think, out with our baby right now. He's having a hard time with Sunday school. We're kind of in the nursery right now. Happy Mother's Day, like Dove already said. Glad you guys are here. Thanks for joining us today. And so I wanted to also just thank you guys for the garage sale. It's pretty awesome. So we did drop-offs kind of Friday. People brought a lot of things. And then Saturday, we started at 6, and people came all the way through noon. We kind of closed up, but it's awesome. We raised over $1,100 for the mission trip next month in L.A. So it was really cool. For me, it was just really neat just seeing from the drop-offs Friday night to those serving, kind of cleaning up Saturday. And it was just a cool picture of the church for me. It was really neat, just the idea. Everyone's kind of jumping in. Everyone's helping. Everyone's serving. People over here talking. Other people are over here just kind of hanging out. And it was just really neat for me. It's a cool picture just looking at the church as the body of believers. It's really cool. So I'm just one of the guys here at the Rio, just filling in for Steve. He's over at the airport side this week. And if you're new again, welcome. I'm glad you're here. Just last week, we started a series in the book of Philippians. So it's a good time to be here. As Dove said, too, we finished up a series in Galatians. And so it's not going to be a typical Mother's Day message, but hopefully you're still encouraged and blessed by what we have to share today. So Steve spoke last week on the first 11 verses. He gave an overview of Philippians, kind of background there as well. And one thing I was really encouraged by from his message was just the idea of growing in the knowledge of the Lord and how that knowledge is a foundation, not just kind of it's more of a life-changing kind that kind of changes our decisions and not just kind of information. Because we can gather information and know more about God, but it causes us to change our relationships and how we deal with people and our choices. I was really impacted by that and really encouraged by that. This is one of my favorite books of the Bible, Philippians. And it's an honor to be here with you and just sharing with you what God's put in my heart. I don't know if you guys have ever had that moment. It's kind of like a look at me moment. Maybe your kids. it's kind of sad, the picture here too. I think sometimes we get so busy, our kids are trying to get our attention, but we're on the phone or doing other things. But our kids have these all the time, and I know as an adult I do as well. Just recently my kids put on a show, as they like to call it, with the dominoes. Since Christmas we've been kind of a domino building house. We've been watching domino videos and building towers and structures to topple them all down. It's been a lot of fun. So the goal is, you know, kind of get it all set up, and before they set that first domino off, they want to do a show, right? So gather everyone there and wait for me sometimes to get home from work. So the hardest part is our almost 2-year-old, getting him not to destroy it first. But a lot of times they kind of do it in a separate room or shut the door or in our garage. But so it's kind of like, they're like, hey, Dad, come on, see it. And afterwards, always like, Dad, what do you think? Or pretty cool, huh, Dad? Or did you like it, Dad? And my kids, just like us, want to be focused on. They want to know they're special and want our approval. And Paul, as we're going to look at here in Philippians, kind of has that look at me, guys, moment. But instead of, hey, look at me, he's saying, hey, look at God and what he is doing. Just like my kids were building dominoes and saying, hey, Dad, look at me. Paul is saying, hey, look at what God is doing and how cool it is. And how cool is God? So just a little overview too. Our perspective needs to be off ourselves more, instead on God and his work, so we can see Jesus Christ honored and magnified through us. We're going to be talking about just a few verses here in Philippians, and just kind of an overview of that is just having our perspective off ourselves and on God like Paul had. And our goal should be to live out our faith so that others want the joy, peace, hope, and love that we have through Christ and say, how cool is God? So when people look at us, it'd be cool for them to say, hey, how cool is God? I can see God at work in their life. So if you guys have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Philippians, or I've got it here on the screen. You guys can just follow along with me. We're going to be reading Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 21. I'm just going to be reading from the old NIV version. So if you guys want to open Bibles or just read along, that's great. So it starts off, it says, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So we're going to go over kind of the whole passage, then we're going to kind of break it down, and I'm going to take a couple points from that. But such an encouraging passage. There's a lot going on here. And so at first, kind of what's going on here? What's happened to Paul? In verse 12, 13 says, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has served to advance the gospel." So he kind of says a shocking statement. He's like, actually, my being in jail is a good thing and is actually advancing the gospel. You might think, well, what's going on? I mean, how could being in jail, being in prison be advancing the gospel? He's locked up, and what can he do there? It seems like when hard things happen, there can be a revival of an outpouring of God's Spirit. I don't know if you've ever witnessed something hard in your own life and something really good came out of it. Or maybe there's something that hard that happened to you or a tragedy you're involved with, and the result was something amazing that you could not have imagined. This doesn't always happen that way. I mean, for sure, we're left to figure out the pieces sometimes of hard things that have happened and wondering, hey, God, why did this happen? Or what's going on here? You might be thinking, well, I've not been in jail or I haven't had anything really hard happen to me. But what about just our brothers and sisters around the world that are persecuted for their faith? And maybe you've kept up with the news here recently. There's been a lot of crazy stuff going on. A lot of people have been daily persecuted. We have no idea around the world. Many of whom have been put in jail, some brutally murdered by being beheaded or other means. Sometimes it doesn't feel too close to home because it doesn't happen too much here to that great a degree. I haven't heard of too many times where armed gunmen has entered a college campus and put to death anyone who claimed to be a Christian. Pretty much there's the Columbine shooting. There's been some sense, but not to the same degree that happened in Kenya just a few weeks ago. I'm not sure how many people died, but there are many, many believers who died. And at the hands of ISIS right now. But how fortunate we are to live in the United States. I don't know if you guys have think through it much, but I've been thinking about just the freedom we experience. We can assemble here freely. It's amazing. We don't have to come here in fear that what's going to happen to us or what might happen to us. And so if you, any of you guys have served in the army or either actively right now or have served in the past, you guys can stand up. In the Army or any armed forces, so in the military. So go ahead and stand up real quick. I know some of you guys have, so. But if you could give a round of applause for these guys, so. No, thank you. Seriously, I think here in El Paso too, with Fort Bliss so close, and I don't know, we take for granted the safety that we experience and the freedom in this great country. I think just even when was the last time we thanked God for the freedom that we experienced in this country, that we're able to live here and practice religious freedom, and it's amazing. I take a lot for granted, and so I've just been reminded, kind of preparing for this message in that, just kind of thinking about Paul and his chains, that we're free to worship the Lord. But I think sometimes this freedom that we have also can cause us not to be fervent or not to advance the gospel. It's easier to get comfortable, to feel safe, or be safe. But for Paul, it was more of his hardship kind of served to advance the gospel and not hinder it. So, and I'm not saying I think it's a good thing for there to be persecution or believers, people in prison or mistreated. Like I do hope and pray that believers like Pastor Saeed Abedini, I don't know if you've heard of story with him, he's been in prison in Iran for a long time. And I pray that he's freed and able to be reunited with his family. But it seems like Paul's saying here in Philippians that God uses hard circumstances and trials to bring about amazing things, to get his truth out and gospel out, and also compel others to be more fervent. I'm praying that God would just do an amazing work just through his Holy Spirit and the gospel, and the gospel to advance in areas like Nepal, just hit like with a huge earthquake a few weeks ago as well. But it's cool that from that tragedy, the tragedy is horrific, but I guess some Christians have been taking advantage of the opportunity that's there, and organizations like Samaritan's Purse and World Vision have been bringing not only supplies, but a message of hope and the gospel to many people who have never heard. And it's I don't know what the death toll was. I heard over 4,000, maybe 5,000, whatever. I know they're still trying to bring people from the rubble, but maybe it was way more than that. But it was really hard. But in that, sometimes from those hard opportunities, there's an opportunity for the gospel like never before. So I want to, before we get any farther, just pray, spend a few minutes here in praying. And we don't normally spend a time kind of praying. I usually pray, but I thought this morning, just if you're near someone or if you want to just maybe groups of two or three, let's spend a few minutes praying for just our country, for just the neighborhood schools, for places like Nepal and Kenya and those affected by ISIS. So I just thought it'd be good just to take a few minutes. So just with someone next to you, maybe no more than three or four people. And we'll just spend a few minutes here, and I'll come up and close this in just a minute. So, And if you don't know the person too, just you can introduce yourself and just spend a few minutes praying. If you don't feel comfortable praying, just you can just sit there quietly. And and I'll be back in just a minute. So. You guys want to just finish up those prayers real quick, please? God, we do just thank you for the chance to live in this great country, Lord. We can experience the freedom we do and come together and just worship you, God, with our fellow brothers and sisters here. Lord, it's crazy what's happening around the world, and God, we still have just a small idea of all that is really going on, Lord. But pray you be with our brothers and sisters that are persecuted, those that have lost loved ones, and those that have been tortured or imprisoned for their faith. We pray for the release of Pastor Zaid Abedin, God, from the Iranian prisons and others as well. God, we just pray that you would work through us, God. Use us here to do what we can. God, to be lights in this world. And I pray you just bless this message today. God, we love you, and just thanks for today. In Jesus' name. Come on. Thanks, guys. It's good sometimes just to sit and just to take a minute and pray. As I've been thinking about this with just this world, is I think we hear a lot of stuff in the news. I listen to news sometimes, and it can be so discouraging hearing all this happening. But I think I've been trying to do as a result of hearing things, I try and pray about it. And I thought it'd be a good chance for us here to just pray about some of the stuff going on in our world now. Just going back to Philippians here. In verse 13, so he just says, hey, what I love about this too is it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And I like the idea that Paul's faith was evident to all. It wasn't evident just to those in his church or in the jail, but it was evident to all that he was in chains for Christ. It wasn't just in chains for something he'd done, but he's in chains for Christ. It's interesting question for us. If his faith was evident to all, how about our faith? Is our faith evident to all? Just as Paul's was. What does that even mean, to have our faith be evident to all? Does it mean just wearing a cross around your neck? Or having a fish bumper sticker, or a Rio bumper sticker in your car? Just telling everyone you meet that you're a Christian. I mean, listening to Caleb, singing along to the songs, and having your kids do that. We love Caleb and our family, so we listen to Caleb a lot. Now, does it mean wearing a Christian shirt or making Christian comments in your Facebook account? How about praying in public, either before a big game or just at restaurants and other situations, or on a prayer walk, or even inviting others to church? I like that band. I don't know if you can see that. It says, "I found Jesus, followed me to this church." It's pretty cool. But I think too, just thinking about living differently from those around us. It's evident by our life choices. Just how we treat people. how we respond when things are hard. I think that's always a good check. How do we respond if something hard happens to us? How do we react to that? And how do we love people? Not just because we have to or we must, but because we understand God's love for us and how it motivates us to love others the same way. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't do any of the previous stuff, but for me personally, I don't want people to know I'm Christian just because of a bracelet or a cross I wear, but rather just how I live, love, and treat those around me. Just, again, because of how I live, how I love, and how I treat those around me. And I'm not saying that it's bad to wear a cross or Christian t-shirts or anything else there. I think for people that do, I do too, as far as the shirts and things, but for sometimes wearing a cross or their shirts, it gives them opportunities to share their faith. I wear my Memory Madness shirt with pride. I have a little hoodie as well. Our Memory Madness is just a verse memorization program we have here, and as you kind of go into higher levels of it, you get shirts and you get a hoodie, and it's pretty neat. So it's pretty cool. But all right, so if you guys love Jesus here, raise your hand. Let's see. Okay, a little higher maybe if you love Jesus. You know, we're talking about Jesus here, right? So how about, maybe you guys have seen Braveheart. He shouts at the end, freedom. We don't normally do this, but you don't have to shout freedom, but I thought it'd be cool to shout to the Lord. So if you feel comfortable, just give Jesus a little shout. So if you guys want, we'll just count on the count of three. Just give a little shout. You can say freedom if you want. You can just shout. So on the count of three, we'll give a little shout to the Lord. So ready? One. That's good. Maybe one more time. Try one more time, right? That's pretty good, but all right. So on count of three, ready? One, two, three. Oh, it's pretty fun. I don't know. Maybe it felt uncomfortable for you too. Just kind of shout out. We don't normally do that, especially if you're more of a quiet person or you don't typically shout necessarily. But maybe you felt just a little uneasy about it as well. But I think too, I just wanted to do that just to say, hey, we don't need to be embarrassed about our faith. You know, as Christians, we shouldn't, I don't know. I mean, not that we're going to go around just shouting Jesus all the time, or you don't have to put that in the back of your car, hey, I found Jesus, follow me. But just to make it obvious that we love Jesus. When we shout to the Lord or talk to others about Jesus, we're not going to blend into this world. We're not going to blend into those around us. It's kind of saying, hey, we've drawn a line in the sand, you know, and I said, hey, I choose Jesus, and I want to choose him more than having people like me or fitting in. I was thinking about doing that today, having a big line over here, and everyone kind of go over to the line if they wanted, but I thought that might make people uncomfortable, and we have to get out of our seats and come back, but maybe in your own mind, just thinking about that, have you crossed over that line and said, hey, I'm with Jesus, I associate with Jesus? And it's hard, because we don't fit in. There's conversations that are happening that we're not going to partake in. And it can be challenging. I just want to go a couple of verses with as far as shouting to the Lord. So Psalm 27:6, it says, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I'll offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. I'm just showing that it's biblical to shout to the Lord. It's good. So not that we have to do all the time, but I think we don't do it probably too often. Psalm 32:11 says, so rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all you who obey him. Shout for joy, all whose hearts are pure. Just, we have something to shout about, though. I think, you know, we're used to shouting at football games or different things, sporting events especially. But it's good to shout for joy for Jesus, too. In Ezra 3:11, it says, and they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. So the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid, and so they were so excited. They praised the Lord and shouted with a great shout. I think about, too, with Jericho. As Joshua was conquering Jericho, kind of an unusual fighting tactic, God said to march around the city 7 days, and on the seventh day, so in the first 6 days, just march around at once, don't say anything. And the seventh day, march around it 7 times. And then shout and blow the trumpets with all your might, and the walls would come crashing down. And so they did it, and it did. And I think that shout was probably, you know, maybe a little better than ours today. But, I mean, ours is all right. But, I mean, that was a great shout. And I think about this, too, when it says, shout it with a great shout. It's been pretty cool. But I think too, about living out our faith is staying close to the Lord. And what this means is, I mean, just having a relationship with Him. Just like if you're married here, you talk, right? You listen, you talk, you have a relationship. And we're celebrating Mother's Day here too, so you appreciate your mother, so give them a call or, you know, have a relationship with them, you talk to them. So it's the same with the Lord, is just to pray and live expectantly with the Lord. So just pray and look for opportunities. And one practical thing you can think of is just to think about what you can do, things that you can give you opportunities for the gospel or allow you to get into spiritual conversations. And if you're not sure how to do this, go and ask Mark or ask Troy in the airport campus as well. And they're both really good about taking something as normal they're trying to do this movie night too on Friday nights, and hasn't been too many people coming, but I appreciate their faith to step out in faith and see if they can bring people to the Lord and closer to the Lord. I think sometimes we can think of just going to the store as going to the store or going to the gas station. But those can be opportunities to bless someone, to encourage someone, to share with someone, or just do a good deed for someone else. Ephesians 2:10 talks about, just for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. That these good works are prepared for us. But I think we miss a lot of them because we're not living expectantly, we're not praying for them. I think I do, for sure. I read this article recently from Focus on the Family, and this is kind of the end of the article. It says, living a transparent, authentic life means allowing your relationship with God to illuminate every environment you enter, even the workplace. Besides, says Wagner, she kind of quotes Wagner quite a few. I think he wrote a book on this. The place to work out your faith isn't just a church. What people do in the workplace is their ministry, just as much as singing in the choir is a church. I like that. The place to work out your faith isn't a church, but it's seeing our workplace as a place of ministry. Maybe it's as a student, or maybe it's home or different things that you have, your neighborhood, but it's not necessarily always here. And there's a couple questions this in the article. It says, are we living a transparent life at work? Do you fake happiness even when you're sad about something? I think we can do this at church too. We can do this anywhere, right? We can show up and, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing good, because we're supposed to be doing good, right? Instead of, man, I had a really hard week and I'm exhausted and I didn't even want to come today. And I don't know. I think sometimes we can not be real, but I think it's good to be real. Have you ever shared a personal concern with a coworker? And so sometimes I think we can keep things on the superficial level, but I think it can be good sometimes, depending on the relationship that you have, but sharing personal concerns. Have we ever openly spoken about how God has helped you during a tough time? Or has people seen that? Do you give credit to God has helped you? So we have to be careful in this too. I think sometimes we can get in trouble for that too. But thinking about, do our actions at work reflect our Christian principles? Do we live with integrity? Are we pursuing excellence as working for the Lord? Especially if people know you're a Christian at work, they're going to watch you. They're going to watch you like a hawk. They're going to say, okay, I'm going to wait for this guy to mess up. And sometimes we do. I think it's just being humble if we do, and just realizing that. But people are watching us, and they're saying, hey, does this guy work hard? Does this lady work hard? Or, you know, are they the same as everybody else? And I kind of do the minimum and just get by. And the last one is just, do we have a vision for our workplace? It's good to think through. I think for the vision, if we don't have a vision for our own life, it's hard to have a vision for our workplace as well. And the last part just talks about Christians need to have a vision. What they do in the workplace is paramount to bring the kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven. Again, people are watching us. I think just as we think through, hey, what's our vision for our life? Helps us at work. In verse 14 it says, because of my chains, most of the brothers on the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. And this is hard, right? Some people, it seems like they don't have a problem with being courageous or speaking to anyone, anytime about the Lord, but for others of us, this can be a real struggle. This doesn't mean that we all need to go out and share our faith or everyone show up here at first service to speak to those coming out of the bar, but I think too, just being, I don't know, more encouraged and ready for opportunities and praying for them if they do come. Are there things that encourage you or that motivate you to speak God's word more boldly? For Paul, it was because of his chains that the brothers and sisters were more bold and courageous. But maybe for you, it's reading or studying or memorizing the word. Do you understand God and His and the knowledge of the Lord, as Steve was talking about last week, maybe can help you. Or just being in the fight, knowing that, hey, we have a purpose for our life. And there's a cause to fight and preach for. And so, I don't know if you guys heard of D.L. Moody. He was an evangelist. We lived a while back. I think about him a lot. It's one of the biographies that's impacted me the most is his biography. There's one part in his life, though, that he's a really successful evangelist, and so these guys went to go see him. And they said, hey, Mr. Moody, what's your secret to success? How are you so successful in seeing people come to Christ and as an evangelist? And so he, you know, it's like three men that went and asked him. And so he said, go look out the window and tell me what you see. So they went to the window, and they reported back to him what they saw. It was a park down below, so people were walking around, and they kind of described the scene they saw. And one by one, they did this. And they said, well, Mr. Moody, what do you see? So he walked to the window, and he came back, and they said he had tears in his eyes, and he said, I see people going to hell. And for him, it was, he saw people as eternal beings that are going to be either in heaven or in hell. And it caused him and motivated him in his preaching. And that's why he's so successful, because he cared. He really cared about people. And he cared where they're going to spend eternity. That story always grabs me. Because I don't do that very often at all. Verses 15 through 18. Just talking about motives a little here. And Paul said, some people, you know, are preaching out of envy, trying to get something out of it. But other people are doing it out of love. And so some people are trying to be, you know, are selfish and aren't sincere, and they're trying to stir up trouble for Paul. But I love his response here in verse 18. He's like, what does it matter? I'm excited that the gospel is going out, whether it's from pure motives or from false motives. God's truth is going out. Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. I think we can have just impure motives, right? All the time for what we do. This is Jenna and I right before we got married. So this is the day before we got married. So we're going to celebrate our 10-year anniversary next week. So it's pretty cool. But while we were before we were dating, I really liked Jenna for a long time. And we were part of this summer kind of outreach program one summer where we would gather at nights and kind of have different messages shared. And sometimes we'd go out kind of like the first service near bars and things like that and talk about our faith with people. This is up in Colorado. And we'd usually pair up kind of guy-girl. We would go out from about 10 to 1 or 2 in the morning on Saturday nights. And so we, you know, guy-girl just for safety reasons. And I really wanted to be paired up with Jenna, right? I liked her a lot, but I didn't want to manipulate the situation, so I would just go out with her. And so usually, we had never, we're just friends, but we're in different small groups in the church. And so one Saturday night, it just worked out. Everyone got paired up, and the two of us kind of were looking at each other like, I guess, you know, we're going out. Going out to share our faith. And so we drove, you know, she drove, and I was really excited. I was like, yes. And, to go out and share the faith with these people. And so we, you know, she rode in my truck, and we drove down to, it's called Old Town in Fort Collins, Colorado. And so we got a chance to, and talk to people, and it was kind of amazing. Never before it had ever happened. Like, everyone we talked to asked us, like, hey, how long have you been together? And, how long have you been married? Or we're like, no, we're just friends. We're not married. But it happened like 3 or 4 or more times. It was amazing. It happened a lot. And after the second time, I'm kind of like, well, what do you think? You know, should we try? You know, should we get together, see if this works out? But my motives going out was to make a good impression on her. My motive wasn't to share my faith, wasn't to share the gospel. My motive was to look good for this girl. And I guess it worked out, right? So we're here 10 years later. But I think a lot of times our motives aren't pure. You know, sometimes it's, you know, we're going to make a lot of mistakes, and most of the time probably our motives aren't going to be pure. But I think that shouldn't stop us from trying to step out in faith. I think too, just, we talked about before, not being embarrassed to live out our faith. Even if it isn't perfect or our motives aren't spot on, I think it's good just to step out in faith still. And, verses 18 and 19, it says, that I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. And I like this a lot, because where does Paul give credit in verse 19? He says, through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He doesn't give thanks or doesn't give credit to people. It's not the bail bonds that's going to, you know, get him out of prison, but it's the believer's prayers and the work of the Holy Spirit. And just kind of just a reminder for us is, are we praying? Do we believe that God acts in response to our prayers? Have we personally seen God answer our prayers? This is humbling for me. I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about, God, what prayers recently have you answered in my life? I've kept a prayer journal in the past where I just one column I write the prayer and I wrote the date and I leave the other column blank and hopefully fill it in. A lot have been no, but it was encouraging to look back. About 7 years ago or 8 years ago, we moved here to El Paso from Colorado helping start the church, and I was working in some different jobs, and I was in a job I didn't really like. Some of you guys might like sales, but it was straight commission. It was challenging. We had a couple babies at home, and I just didn't feel like that was the place I wanted to be long term. So I applied for a specific position, and from that position, I could have been placed anywhere in the country, wherever there's availability. But we wanted to stay here. We felt like God had called us to El Paso just to help, you know, with the Rio here. And so we prayed, started praying daily for a specific location for this office. And so we prayed daily for it, and I had no control over where I was going to be placed. But I was placed in that same one we prayed for. And it was just a cool answer to prayer. I'm still with that organization now, and just, God is so good. And I'm sure a lot of us could just spend a lot of time kind of recalling answered prayers. And maybe if you're like me, though, you're trying to remember when the last time God answered your prayer, I encourage you guys just to spend time with Him and seek Him and pray specifically. Maybe even start a journal or prayer journal to list specific requests that you have, you're trusting God for to change. And maybe it's in your marriage and your family and your coworkers or your neighborhood. Just even preparing for my message today has caused me to reevaluate just my prayer life and what I'm trusting God for. I had to dust off my prayer journal, and I wrote some new entries in there. And just what we're trusting God for as a family and a couple. And kind of in the second part of that verse, it talks about just the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And God's Spirit is just, His Spirit is just working through us. And the deliverance in that verse is just the deliverance from jail, not necessarily a salvation deliverance. And just the last passage here is from in 20 and 21. I encourage you guys to memorize this. I love this little passage of Scripture. It says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And one translation says magnified. I like that. Meaning that Christ would be esteemed or praised by others. I thought magnified meant to become greater. But it's cool that Christ can't become greater than He already is. I love this idea that Christ would be exalted or magnified through my life or my death, and others would praise Him. And are there areas where we're ashamed of Christ? Are there areas where, we're having a hard time, you don't want to step out in faith? Or is there, I don't know, maybe think through about areas that you need to step out in faith, or you're scared to step out in faith. Maybe it's a mission trip coming up. We've been having a few meetings, and maybe you're like, I don't know if that's for me. But maybe you don't feel like you have enough money, but maybe we just raised $1,100, right? And we've got money that we're going to use, and it's going to be a blessing for the people to go and for the church out there. But maybe there's other things. Maybe there's something that you feel like, God, I know you want me to do this, but I'm pretty scared. I don't know if I can do that. But I encourage you guys to think through those areas. Because Paul, He's just a good example for us. His life was focused on Christ and living for Him. And how are we doing in that? Can others clearly see God working in and through us, whether in our family or, I know some of us have with either our parents or brothers and sisters, it can be challenging that we're believers and they're not. And there can be hard conversations in that. But I think too, as others realize that we're a Christian, and we love them and we care about them, and we're just not out to see them become a Christian, but we really love and care about them. But we do care about where they're going to end up in heaven. But just even at work or other areas too, people see us. And so what areas do we need to grow in? Or what areas do we need to give up to really live out our faith? Maybe there's a specific thing you think, God, I know I need to get rid of this, but I don't really want to. I know I need to stop doing this, but I don't want to. Maybe, I really want to grow in this, but you need to spend time at it. You need to, come to church and be real. You can share with myself or Dove or Steve. There's things you want us to pray with you on or anyone else here too, and just need help for. I think sometimes it's just it can be one of the first steps, just admitting, hey, I need help. And so I like the end of that part too, going back to 21, to me to live is Christ and die is gain. I think sometimes we don't think dying is gaining. In our world here, sometimes when we die, we want to give something, hopefully if there's any left, right, to our kids and grandkids. But when we die, if we're a believer, if we're a Christian, God says, hey, here's everything. We're going to give you everything. Here's heaven. There's no more death. There's no more mourning. There's no more sin or pain. There's no more worries. There's no more struggles. It's amazing. I like that perspective, to live as Christ and to die as gain. Because a lot of times I don't think that way. But I think as Christians, it's a good perspective to have, that we gain when we die. And maybe you're here this morning and you're not sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven. You're not sure that, you know, what's going to happen if you do die, and you're scared about that. I just want to share just a briefly kind of what God has done in my own life. In Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And just saying, I'm no different spiritually because I'm up here speaking than you guys. But we all have fallen short of God's standard. We all need God's help. It says in Romans 6:23 that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the idea of the wages of sin is death, the wages being what we earn. And so if we're sinning, then what we earn is death. So by our sinning, we earn death, and that's the wage. But I love that second part. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And my son, Daniel, is going to be turned 6 in 2 days, and it's pretty cool. We're going to have a little party, and I don't know, not really a party, I guess just our family, but a little party for our family. But, you know, give him a few gifts, when he gives the gifts, hopefully he says thanks, but he's not going to say, hey, Dad, how much did it cost so I can pay you back? Or he just receives it. I think we need to be like Daniel in that too, just receiving the gift of the Lord. We can do that if you haven't done that already. Romans 6:23, I love the contrast that there's hope in that. There can be a relationship we can have with the Lord. In John 1:12, it says, yet to all received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That God invites us to be his kids, to be in his family. And the same thing is kind of the two parts. They're receiving him, just like Daniel receiving his birthday gift, and us just believing God says he is who he says he is. That he died on the cross for our sins. He's able to pay the penalty that we deserve to pay because he had no sin in his life. And he can pay for our sin. And the last verse is just from Romans 10:9. It says that, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you can be saved. And just again, just the confession, not talking about confessing to the Lord, but talking just in a relationship, expressing to God, just telling God, I believe in you. So I'm just going to pray here. And when you die, if you're going to heaven, if it doesn't make sense to you, if you have questions for me, feel free to ask me. I'm just going to pray here and kind of close our time. But if you say, hey, I've never done that, that I don't know if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. I encourage you guys just to pray along with me. If everyone could just bow their head real quick and we'll pray and close the time so the band will come back up. So Lord, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Thank you, Jesus, that you paid my penalty. I deserve hell. I deserve death, but you came and gave me the gift of eternal life. So I want to accept you. I thank you that you invite me to be your child and your family. Just thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Please help me to follow you. I want to receive you into my life. Please take me to heaven. So love you, and thanks for today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. So again, I encourage you guys, if you haven't memorized 20 and 21, to do that. Our theme verse is Philippians 3:10-11. And so, again, thanks for coming, and have a great Mother's Day. And if I could get all the moms to stand up real quick. If you're a mom, go ahead and stand up. Be great. Give you guys a round of applause. So thank you so much. We've got something for you guys. So come on in. Mom, if you're a mom, go ahead and stay standing. We got a couple of little ones with some flowers to thank you too. So make sure to stand up, and then when you get your flowers, you can go ahead and take a seat. So make sure Look for the kids that are standing up, or look for the moms that are standing up. I know we want to give them all to our moms, so if you see a mom still standing, go ahead and hover over there. Do we have any flowers left? So right over here is some mom, a couple moms, so go ahead and get some flowers. Though, if you got your flowers, go ahead and grab a seat. So let's see if we have any more. So they're still coming. Let's see, we got here, Jen over here, and Lisa. So a few more over here. There you go. Right over here. So, all right. So go on to Lisa right there. Okay. It's right there. All right. All right. Thanks, guys. I think you guys are going back to Sunday school real quick. And the band's going to come up and close this real quick. So, but thanks, guys. If you have any questions on that, please talk to me afterwards. So thank you. Thanks, guys.